Yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes the difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sutton Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, goal setting, goal attainment, consciousness, awareness, becoming the observer. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sutton Eye Impact Show. Immediately following the bio, you will be hearing the voice of Mr. Douglas Vermeeren. Douglas is a multiple-time international best-selling author, including his most recent book, Personal Power Mastery. Douglas is the best known for his interviews of over 400 of the world's top achievers. He has produced three of the top 10 personal development movies, The Opus, The Gratitude Experiment, and The Treasure Map. He is here to discuss his latest project, How Thoughts Become Things, which shattered records for viewership within the first 24 hours upon being released. Hello and welcome, Douglas. You have the floor. I want you to kind of tell us about your journey and your new project, and we'll do the Q&A session afterwards.
Yeah, you got it. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. This is exciting. You've got a great program, and I'm really excited to be with you. So, yeah, my journey actually to this whole personal development field was actually kind of by accident, of all things. I didn't even know this industry existed, and I came from a family where my dad worked construction, and my mom babysat kids in the home, and we were broke. We had nothing, man. In fact, I was wearing hand-me-downs in high school. Talk about embarrassing, right? So around that time, I ran into a book called Think and Grow Rich. Everybody's heard about it. You know, Napoleon Hill wrote it after interviewing people like Thomas Edison and Henry Ford and the Rockefellers and all these people. And so when I read it, I decided I want to do the same. So I went out and I started interviewing some of the world's top achievers, and I got the people that you know, everybody from Oprah to people who were like the four founders of Federal Express and Nike, Reebok, the Adidas Group, Disney, and so forth. And my life changed. You know how it says that we become like the five people we spend the most time with. So I was really leveled up in a hurry. And so naturally, I had people come out and say, hey, can you come out and speak to our group? Tell us what, say, Richard Branson told you or some of these big names. And so I started speaking, and I just fell in love with the idea of teaching. And since that time, I continually have, you know, sought to interview some of the world's top achievers and spend time with them, so much so that the media calls me the modern-day Napoleon Hill. And I really feel like it's important that this information needs to be shared. People need to know what it really takes to create success, not just talk about it, let's do it, right? And so that's kind of what led me to starting to make these movies. And you're right, we did three of them that were really well received. They're now listed in the top 10. And now we're on to the latest, which just came out a little bit less than 3 weeks ago, called How Thoughts Become Things. And it features many of the speakers from the hit film The Secret. And many of those ideas that were in that film, we expand upon and we go deeper. And we really talk about how our thoughts influence our actions and our activities and the things that we receive as outcomes. It all starts with our thoughts. And the problem, I think, even now with what's going on with COVID is sometimes it's a little bit difficult to be optimistic and positive and see the possibilities. Because right now, let's face it, we're in a state that we've never seen before. And our programming doesn't really know how to respond to this. So that's where we're at today. And I'm excited to talk with you. Did we lose you?
I lost sound for a second. Okay.
Oh, no problem.
We're going to the Q&A. The human brain processes 400 billion bytes of information per second. It has over 100 billion cells that each have 10,000 connections. And interwoven in those connections are your beliefs, your thoughts, your words, your expectations, your doubts, your worries, and your fears. So I want everybody to visualize and imagine a home that was built in 1940. If you were to go into that home and it has an attic, you were to go up into the attic, you would be startled at the dust, cobwebs, and spider webs that you would see. So it is with your brain. That's why in the good book, it commands you to be transformed and renewed by your mind. That means daily. You have to wash your mind with your thoughts. And everybody needs to get their pen and paper out and receive this special knowledge, this in-depth knowledge, this exact knowledge that's about to come down. So with the first question, Doug, I would like for you to please explain the dynamics of thought.
Wow, that's a great question. I guess even a better one would be, what do you understand the dynamics of thought to be? Because here's the deal, is we know that our thoughts influence everything that we do. And I love that you brought up the good book. Because, you know, in it, it also talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? And so, really, it all starts internally. But I think one of the things that most people don't understand, you know, if we look at where do our thoughts really come from, right? Like, where are the thoughts that we have? Because every day, you know, it's been estimated that we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day. And you might have even heard part of the study say that 80% of those thoughts that come in are either negative or neutral. Now, what I mean by neutral is habitual thoughts, things that we continually return to every single day, just the habit, the autopilot, the things that we really don't evaluate. And those are sometimes just as dangerous as the negative thoughts. If we're not thinking bigger or better, we're just still kind of stuck in the same rut where we always were. And that doesn't mean that, you know, anything good is going to come. It just really means we're going to repeat the same cycles that we've always done. So what are some of the things that we can look at to do to change our thinking? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that we really are, to some extent, a product of our environment. Not only the programming around us and the people that we've been around for years and the families we were born in and the communities and the, you know, even the church groups and everything, these all influence who we are. And until we really become aware of who we want to be and also where we are, we can't make different choices. So we need to start with that awareness. But one of the things that I think for me that personally made the biggest awareness change, the biggest shift, if you will, is as I started to surround myself with different people, to, in other words, level up the influences of the things that I was accepting my information from, I noticed as soon as I began to see that, I began to have a different kind of thinking, which ultimately changed my outcome. Now, as I kind of mentioned in my intro here, you know, I was raised in kind of a lower income family. And in that setting, obviously, the ideas were kind of a lower income level, right? And I'm not just speaking about money, I'm talking about everything that was incoming into my mind, right? Low level is a slow level, and sometimes it's a no level, right? So when we're at those low levels, we aren't really empowered. We don't really tap into our brilliance. We don't really have the opportunity to see the most inspiring version of ourselves or the potential. And I think that, you know, that's the big challenge. So as I began to level up my life and level up those that I began to surround myself with, my thinking elevated. And I think that to answer your question, that's the biggest dynamic of thinking, is that when we surround ourselves with a better environment, when we surround ourselves with stronger and higher influences, we begin to realize the truest potential of who we are. And so I think that's a big challenge I'd like to even just share with your audience right now. Take a look at who you're spending time with and decide to level up. There's a saying that we share at our networking events, and it's not just about money, although it uses money as an example. It's, if you want to do a $1 million deal, you can't hang out at a $10 breakfast. So you need to level up everything about you, and you'll find that as you do that, your thoughts, your results, your outcomes will all rise to the same standard.
Profoundly stated. Question number two, please explain to me the dynamics of your personal beliefs.
Wow. I've got, I guess, a lot to talk about there. There's a lot of things that I really believe. And I think that, you know, the way we kind of explain it in our training, Personal Power Mastery, there's really five areas of belief and five areas, even if we tie it into accomplishments as well. So, you know, there's beliefs around self, which can include self-worth, self-confidence, self-fulfillment. Next behind that is our spiritual beliefs. Obviously, you know, you've heard it said that you can't love your neighbor till you love yourself. So that's why, you know, self-connection is first. We can't even connect to God or things bigger than us until we realize that we're actually worthwhile. And when we do that, that relationship grows. So spirituality is the second. The third would be our health. You know, what are your feelings about your health? Not just, again, I'm not just talking like working out. I'm talking about even just taking care of ourselves, even on a mental health level, but everything, our physical health, our mental health, our, you know, the nutrition that we have. The final two are what we call relationship. So how we dynamically engage with others and the feelings about that. And lastly, about abundance. And abundance, of course, doesn't just mean money. It means everything, how we even use our time and the opportunities that come to us and all of the things that are, you know, there in our lives to bless us. So how are we really using all five of those to create the best version of ourselves? And I think that one of the things that is often lacking, if we're talking about just recognizing ourselves in this human experience that we're part of, is that most people play small. Most people don't see the grandest potential of who they could be or even what's possible for them in their life or their loved ones. And so we always kind of hold back. And rather than kind of strive for, how should we say, let's call it brilliance, we strive for perfection. And they're very different things. Very few of us will ever do anything with absolute excellence. But we wait for it. And we hold ourselves back. And we don't try. And we understand that actually excellence is obtained in the doing, not in the dreaming. And so we need to be okay with the idea that things are not always going to be perfect and we will make mistakes. And they can be repaired. But unless we get out and try, we will never, ever get any kind of progress in our potential. And I think that's probably the foundation of my biggest belief, is get out there and try. And don't worry about failure. It's inevitable. Worry really about, you know, am I out there in the game?
Nice. Question number three. What is your psychology, perception, thoughts, and beliefs and habits around money?
We could certainly talk for a lot on this subject. Certainly, they've changed over the years. It used to be, obviously, as a young man, that I really understood the money from the perspective of the family that I grew up in, and naturally, they were broke. One of the biggest beliefs that I used to have that I thought was very true was that money is a result of spending time. And a lot of people have heard this, so they figure, hey, if I spend a lot of time doing a job, I'll be rewarded. Or if I spend a lot of time in school becoming educated, I'll be rewarded. And the biggest thing that I learned about spending or gaining money was through spending time with these top achievers that I spoke about early. And I learned immediately that time and education are not attached to money. I've got friends that are actually multimillionaires that didn't even graduate high school. And I know people who, in fact, haven't really worked for the last decade, and they're making more money than most people who work 9 to 5 every day. Money is not attached to education or time, but what it is attached to, and this is the lesson, if you want to become wealthy, you need to understand this, is that money is attached to systems. So when we understand that money comes from a transaction, in other words, you're going to give an asset, a service, or information to someone, and they're going to give you money in exchange. Now, in order to facilitate that transaction, there's going to be steps that have to be done along the way. For example, if I'm selling a product, I need to manufacture it, I need to distribute it, I need to do the marketing on it, I need to have it sold. Those are all steps that need to take place. Well, the poor person thinks they need to do it. They ask the question, what can I do? How can I do it? And both of those have some very wrong words. The first word is I, and the second words are what and how. The most important word that you can ask when it comes to building money is who. Who's going to do this? And the less of it, including you, the easier it will be for you to scale. You see, when you become a cog in the wheel, you're also a clog in the wheel. And all wealthy people know that money is created through systems, like I said. And so if we can find a way to create systems that are either delegating the effort or automating the effort, we can actually then scale and enlarge our efforts, because it's not really attached to us being present. We can bring more people in or more systems in and generate more income. So I think the easiest way to sum this up is, you know, poor people believe that money and time are an equation that needs to go together, or money and education are an equation that needs to go together, and they're not. The best way to build money is through systems. And when you can understand how to do that, there's no limit how successful you can become.
Wow. Question number four. How much of your potential in percentage-wise are you expressing?
For me personally, probably very little. And, you know, we've heard people, you know, talk about this before. You know, they say, how much of your potential are you actually using? And they they kind of talk about this. We're using only so much percentage of our brain and these kinds of things. I don't know how they can calculate that, to be quite frank with you. I think that there is a lot of potential that we have that there's just no way to measure. So how much of my potential that I'm using? Well, I'm disappointed to say that I don't think much, not much at all. And I guess the other thing that I think is important to say is that as I discover that I still have so much more that I can develop and do and gain and become, that quite frankly, it's exciting because I know that perhaps one day I will be, you know, far, far ahead of anything that I even could have dreamed. Like if you ask me my potential today, I can't really answer that, right? Like how can a person know what their fullest potential is over the next 20 years? We just don't know. I've already done so many things in my life that have surprised me, that have surprised myself, and funny enough, even surprised my mother. So my question is always not really, you know, how do I figure out what my potential is, but to just learn how to say yes when there's these opportunities that come along for me to be part of that, right? Like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what the future is going to be like. But the more that I can strive to really kind of get to this next level in all things, that's really, for me, the answer. Like, will you be prepared, right? Like, will you be prepared to reach your potential when that moment arrives? And I think that that's really the big question because, like I said, we don't know the future, but we can certainly know and prepare while we're here today. So always be looking to expand. In fact, there's a little saying that we share in one of our trainings. It's that if you want to expand what you have, you must expand who you are. And that's the beginning. So I'm not really worried about potential as long as I'm in a constant mode of growth and absorbing as much growth through curiosity as I possibly can.
Nice. The next question, obviously you have a good grip on it, probably on a phenomenal or fanatical level. Talk to us about visualization and utilizing your imagination.
Wow. Well, I think imagination is probably one of our most powerful tools that we have. And as much as I would love to, you know, share my ideas on this, I actually want to talk about one of the guys in the film. In our film, we've got Dennis Waitley. And for those of you who are not familiar with him, he's the author of Psychology of Winning. But he trained Olympians in visualization. He also trained several NASA missions, like all the astronauts involved with that mission in terms of visualization. And it's been interesting because he's kind of become like a bit of an adopted grandfather for me. So I spent a lot of time with Dennis at his home and elsewhere. And just to learn the true techniques of how effective visualization can be. Now, you've all heard probably about some different studies where they took, for example, a group of people and divided down the middle, and half these people practiced shooting basketball hoops. The other ones just visualized it. And when they brought them both back together to see sort of what the results were, the difference actually was very minimal. Those that practiced in their mind did just as well as those that practiced on the court. There's another story he was telling me not too long ago about a POW who, in his mind, every day to get away from the situation, he would play a game of golf. And literally his golf game improved as he visualized it. And so I think that that's really important to recognize that our mind can't always tell the difference between a real or an imagined experience. But Dennis said something interesting to me about visualization. He said, the difference with many people in a visualization exercise that they don't do effectively is that they kind of visualize themselves as in a third person. So in other words, they see themselves doing it from the outside in. And he said to me that the most effective visualization is to actually do it from a POV, the point of view camera, that you see it as it's actually unfolding. And in your mind, as obstacles and challenges appear, let them do so, but solve them also from a POV point of view. And to me, that was very impressive. Another speaker in our film that I thought was really kind of interesting was Marie Diamond, who many of you remember from The Secret as well. And she also talked about how everything around us, the things that we bring into our influence, like our, you know, surroundings in our home, the way that we set up our room, all of these things. She called it like a three-dimensional vision board. And I thought that was interesting, too, that as we visualize, so do we produce. And I guess the last thing that I would add, just in terms of visualization, is just remember that the things that you see, if you see them specific and clear, they become attainable and near. You need to get specificity around that. Now, the other thing that's interesting, if you look at a vision board, too many people cut out pictures of, let's say, they cut out a Ferrari and they slap it onto their vision board and then they make a goal to go and get it. I'm going to say that's great, but it's only half of what your brain needs to make a decision. I think it's important on your vision board to also write the reasons why you want something. And if you've got why power, you're going to have your willpower when it comes time to doing it. But with this idea of clarity, I think it's important to also write down how much something costs. So on your vision board, you put exactly what the amount is that you're looking to come up with, for example, say that Ferrari. And the cool thing is I bought a Ferrari a couple of years ago, and I put it on my vision board, and I also wrote the price and a few other details. The cool thing about that was that when that Ferrari came into my life, I also, with clarity, was able to see that it was a good deal. It was a good opportunity. And I think that, again, the more clear we can get around the things that we want to bring in our life, the more likely it becomes that they will arrive.
Nice. Question number 6, why is a goal important?
Well, I think goals are always essential. Again, just back to this idea of clarity, a goal that is specific and clear becomes attainable in the air. The problem, I think, with many people is that they're on autopilot, meaning that they take things as they come. They operate from a position of ritual tendencies, meaning they do the things they've always done, and they're not really happy about it. And, you know, if we look very clearly at Socrates, Socrates, the Greek philosopher, said, he said we are teleological beings, meaning that we actually only experience feelings of joy and happiness when we are making progress. And so I think that a lot of people, when they don't set a goal and they don't have progress in mind, they don't have a destination they'd like to arrive at, it's very difficult for them to be fulfilled. Because without a goal, do we really have a purpose? And so I think, if you look at all of the top achievers, especially the ones that I interviewed, they all had goals. They all had a destination in mind. And I should mention that it wasn't just writing it down and setting a date and saying, this is what it looks like, but they thought through very carefully about how it would feel like once they got there. And I love what Stephen Covey once said. He said, many people climb the ladder of success only to find that it's leaning against the wrong wall. And so I think it's really important that it's not just where we're going, but it's how we feel about that destination as well. And that's how we should set goals.
Okay. Question number 7. What is your benchmark goal or definite chief aim for the year 2020?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. I couldn't quite hear that.
What is your definite chief aim or benchmark goal for 2020?
Have I got some benchmark goals for 2020?
Yeah, like what is
it? I do. I have many goals that I'm looking to achieve for 2020. You remember at the beginning of the interview, we talked about the 5 areas, like self, spirituality, our health, our relationships, and also abundance. I set goals in each of those areas. So I have some gargantuan, gigantic goals that I set in each of those areas. And many of them, again, really have a lot to do with very specific things and also feeling things, what I'd like to feel about those goals. So I don't know. I mean, how do I share some of these goals that are on an extremely personal level? Well, obviously, if we even take an example of the film that we're working on now, naturally, it was my goal to have it come out in 2020. There were all kinds of obstacles, which not only appear for me, but probably for everybody else in the form of the COVID virus, that made us had to pivot. We had to reinvent and reshape some of the procedures and the destinations of, or directions even of how we're going to get to these goals, but the goals haven't changed. And I think that this is really important to recognize that top achievers are not perfectionists, but improvisers. And if we can be an improviser and understand that, you know, our goals need to be in place, but our methods may shift. I think that that's probably the important lesson. And we'll see. Like, our goals with this film is I want to share it with as many people as I can around the world. We want to, you know, have the book come out. Looks like probably looking at maybe September, October. And I'd like to see it get translated into multiple languages around the world. Our first movie, The Opus, was done in 23 languages. I'd like to beat that. So those are some of my goals for 2020, and I think we're definitely on track, and in some areas we're even surpassing what we originally thought. So maybe even I'm guilty of thinking a little small in a few areas, but that's okay. We can readjust, and I think we should always be looking for bigger and better. Be happy, but never be satisfied.
Absolutely. That was the questions that I had, but I would like to ask you one more quick question before we go to break, because it'll just be interesting to see what your approach is.
Mm-hmm.
What's your process when you things don't go the way you planned it or you encounter temporary defeat?
That's a great question. And you know what's funny is it happens all the time. I think that this is something that is maybe hopefully reassuring to your listeners. You know, sometimes they hear people who've done some, you know, big things in their life and they think, oh, wow, it looks pretty easy. But the truth is no, oftentimes it's very hard. And success in life is more a matter of commitment than it is anything else, right? In fact, I always tell my students there's a big difference between tenacity and stupidity. You know, what's the difference? Well, a person that's stupid, it's like he's banging his head against the wall to get in the room beside it, but he's not willing to take support, direction, help. They're just banging in the same spot again and again and again, and you'll never get there. But tenacity means if you bang your head in a spot and it doesn't work, you find a new spot. And when you bang your head on that spot and it doesn't work, you get people to help you find new spots. And you listen to people who have done it before. And so I think the biggest thing that I do that gets me through difficult times is I have a very strong support network. You've heard it said that your network equals your net worth. That's definitely true, but it starts by having your network to be your safety net. So whenever I have a challenge, and in fact, I've used that, funny enough, 3 or 4 times even this week, when I have something that I don't know the answer to or that I can't do by myself, or sometimes even maybe I've got a good idea on how to solve this, but I'm not 100% sure, the first thing I do is I call some of my most trusted people in my network and I ask them how they would deal with it. And I'm not saying I always take their ideas. Sometimes their ideas are not really what I want to do, but at least now I've got choices, right? So I can see possibilities. So I think it's really important, again, back to this idea, all success is created by a team, and the best way to create success is to use your team and use their combined intelligence, right? Like, you do not have to have all the answers. In fact, one of my favorite things, and I invite your listeners to write this down, is let other people help you make money. You don't have to do it all by yourself, right? Get a really good team and use the skill sets and the strengths and the power and the insight of all those around you. It's so easy nowadays to gain access to people who are very, very smart. Kind of reminds me of what Steve Jobs said once. He said, we don't hire people smarter than us and tell them what to do. We hire people smarter than us so they can tell us what to do. So you should always be on a hunt and always on a mission to find contacts, resources, and individuals to bring into your network that are smarter than you. And you'll find that everything in life will go easier when you've got that team supreme, that dream team built in place.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you so much. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee. I have a quote for y'all. Those thoughts are truth which guide us to beneficial interaction with sensible particulars as they occur. Whether they copy these in advance or not, psychologist William James. The next voice that you will hear will be Jaron Banks. He is a transformational coach, ordained minister, technology consultant, entrepreneur, storyteller, and dream traveler. He believes dreams can and will come true with the application of the right knowledge, personal commitment, and your own unique abilities. Jaron has designed his life where he is earning a living doing what he loves and is committed to helping individuals earn a living doing what they enjoy. He helps you stop delaying your dreams and reminds you to live your life on your own terms. Jaron has integrated his 25 years of mentoring and coaching individual clients and business teams into a proven success system. Dream Power Academy and Spiritual Athletics are his companies, where he has a big goal of helping 1 billion people do what they love to do. With no further ado, Mr. Jaron Banks.
Thank you. I am grateful and happy to be here on the show again, and really enjoyed listening to the first segment with the great questions and answers, and I'm excited to check out Douglas's new movie. I am also, I see that Bob Proctor's involved with that movie, and Bob Proctor's one of my mentors. I actually am a consultant through his company as well, so I use some of his materials and coaching platforms to help my clients. So I'm very excited to hear about that and to watch that upcoming movie. I encourage everyone else to check it out as well when they get a chance. I'd like to actually continue, which is what we usually do when I come on the show, and bring in some actual step-by-step items that you can implement into your life now, which will really almost coattail on some of the conversation earlier. And so we talked about how thinking is such an important part of our lives, especially now during the situation that we're experiencing across the entire globe. Everybody may be having different levels of that experience depending on what country or state or area you're in. But this is something that we've all experienced together as a global community. And what we think about, you know, thinking is, earlier I talked about on a previous show, thinking is our highest function. Really the most powerful action we can take is to really choose what thoughts we're going to think and how we're going to direct our thinking energy. And so one group of items I wanted to talk about here is, you know, how do thoughts turn into things, right? And that's the name of the actual movie that Douglas mentioned earlier. And most of the time, individuals will look at their results. You could easily look at your bank account. You could look at your situation with your employment or your business. I know I've talked to a lot of small business owners here in my area. They've had to be creative and think of new ways to operate. Some are being very creative. Others have been operating in fear and really focusing on the worst that could happen. And you'll see different results with those individuals. And so one thing that we talk about a lot is, you know, your thoughts are going to influence your feelings. So a lot of times you may not even catch the thought that you were thinking. It could be unconscious, but you notice that you feel a certain way. And this happened to me a few weeks ago. I like to tell personal stories, and I may have mentioned on a previous show, my grandmother passed away here about 2 weeks ago. She was 98 years old. And she lived a full life. I was really honored and just amazed at how long that she lived on the earth and what she was able to provide to me as her grandson, but also my father and my family. And I noticed during that weekend that I was feeling very anxious, kind of guilty, shame, and I was able to identify those feelings. Now, this is something that I've practiced several years with myself and also with clients. So, you know, it is something that I'm able to stop and really kind of take assessment of my feelings. But instantly I went backwards. It's almost like there's a circle, right? Your thoughts lead to your feelings. I didn't quite know what the thought was, but I knew I wasn't feeling really good. And I said, okay, I must have been, what was I thinking about? And so I took it back and realized that I was concerned about not being able to attend the services for my grandmother. The services were not going to be a traditional funeral because of the coronavirus and some of the rules and regulations around how you'd have to operate or even getting there and traveling, right? And so I was allowing those thoughts just to kind of run around in my head and not really doing anything about it, and it was causing me to feel feelings of shame and guilt because I wasn't going, and anxious about what I should or should not do. And so finally, I just stopped and I changed the thought. I went back, almost went back in time, right, and changed the thought. And I said, okay, what is it that I'm choosing to think? And I said, well, I'm choosing to honor my grandmother in the best way that I can. And so when I started thinking about that, then other ideas came up. So I instantly was like, well, hey, let's contact your aunt, my aunt, and just send her some loving thoughts about my grandmother, things that I remembered about her. And let's honor her in the way that you can. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to travel. I realized that that didn't make sense for me to do it. in terms of time and getting there, but also in the kind of the wake of all the environment with the coronavirus and different items of making sure family members are safe. I contacted my aunt. My aunt contacted me back and let me know that that the choice I was making was correct. Almost everybody else in the family was not traveling. It was just going to be a viewing. And then she said a comment to me. She goes, "Your grandmother would not have wanted you to come." She goes, "You're doing the right thing." And when I heard those words, it was just like a feeling of relief and such love and support and comfort just to hear that. And you can imagine, if you really listen to me, just what it feels like to lose a family member, especially during this time, and to go through those thoughts and those feelings. But I did something about it, right? And I went back and I changed the thought. I changed the thinking, which actually led to a new feeling, which was one of me feeling supported by my family, feeling relief, feeling strong, feeling confident about what I did, and also feeling love for myself and my grandmother and my family. And then that led to my actions of me being able to talk to my father, send some loving words to my aunt, talk to my mother and my sister, communicate to other family members with compassion, but also power and strength, and just being proud of my grandmother and what she had done, right? And then those results, the actions that I took, gave me the results of me feeling good that next day. I felt good about what I had done. I felt like I had done what I could in my situation, and I did my best. And then it led to new thoughts, right? It led to me thinking, wow, my grandmother was here 98 years. What can I do in my time span? What can I do to honor her, right? And then that started leading to new feelings, and then to new actions, and then to new results, and then to new thoughts. And so what I just described, I shared a little bit of myself there to give some insight into how that works and how you can use it to pull yourself out of sometimes challenging situations. Douglas mentioned that earlier. It doesn't matter what level we're at, especially during this coronavirus. I think this really leveled the playing field, right? It doesn't matter how much money you had, you still had to stay at home, right? So it didn't matter what type of position or job, or if you were famous or not famous. Like, this was a situation we all had to deal with. So we all go through challenges. We all go through situations. And I think sometimes we look at other people and think everything is really great on their side, and they have no problems, and it was an easy cakewalk for them. I'm here to attest that's not the case, right? Everyone has their own fears, challenges, things that get in their way that may be easy, that may even be easy for you, right? And so I wanted to share this first because this is kind of the process. And this is really a small mini masterclass that I'm going through here. And one of the lessons that I actually share with my students around using your mental faculties. And the reason this is important, because we talked about thinking as our highest function. And then I talked about kind of the progression of how our thinking can influence our feelings and our actions and our results. And then it comes back around like a wheel. And so if you want to stop the same results from happening over and over again, you just change the thought. That's the place where you can stop that trajectory. And one way you can change your thought is by becoming aware of your mental faculties. I like to call them our inherent superpowers, right? We watch a lot of movies, Marvel movies, DC, with superheroes, and they have all these powers, and we forget that we have inherent superpowers that are not necessarily honed or taught to us in school. And even in the general public, we don't talk about these too much, but I'm going to cover these here very quickly and give some examples of how you can utilize these each day to enhance your thinking and to bring more power into the way that you operate. So the first is reason. And I love this one because here's the way that I state it. Our ability to think about what we are thinking. Right? So earlier, Douglas said, you know, pop out into a POV view, or, you know, pop out and be able to see yourself in a different viewpoint, or look at yourself differently. That ability to actually look at your thoughts and say, okay, wait a minute, I was thinking that yesterday, or I was thinking that 5 minutes ago. The ability for us to reason is such a powerful ability of ours. The next is perception. Now, I was a former college athlete. I played basketball, and I'm very familiar with Dennis Waitley, and I've followed him and paid attention to a lot of his techniques, and I've also used a lot of visualization when I was in track and field and also college basketball. So perception is one of those pieces that falls into that as well, right? The ability to perceive yourself on the court doing a certain play before you do it, but also the ability to perceive either your opponent and see how they may react to you. This is something that a lot of people don't stop to think about. It's like you can actually put yourself in another person's viewpoint. This could be working in relationships, right? Learning to be empathetic. Empathy is a form of perception. And I like to say that that's a form of perception that includes the heart. Now, some people may say, you're getting into the feelings, but you know, there's scientists now that are saying the heart actually has more so-called neurons or brain brain-like cells in the heart than there is in the mind. So I like to say empathy is a heart-mind connection, allowing you to perceive how someone else may feel, how they may be going through the situation, or how they may be taking the words that you're delivering to them. Very powerful capability here to be able to perceive things in a different way, right? The next is, this was talked about earlier as well, imagination. And I like to always say that a lot of times when we hear imagination, we think of Walt Disney and you know, like magic and wizards and creating things out of thin air and drawing on pieces of paper and these elaborate creations. But imagination is something that we use inherently every minute of the day. It runs all the time. And it happens when you get ready to leave and you're going somewhere and you're thinking you may be late. You start imagining all the things that may happen. Or you're thinking that you may be on time and you start thinking of all the good things that may happen because you're early. You're going to go visit family and you start thinking about all the things you're going to do, hugging your mom, seeing your father, seeing your nephews, your nieces. You're thinking about a vacation. Oh, where am I going to go? What am I going to eat? What's the plane ride going to be like? That's all imagination. And so if we take a hold of that, take conscious control, and start to visualize ourselves in certain situations, you can see how you can start to use these capabilities all in these different areas, right? If you're doing visualization techniques, you can use reason, perception, imagination. And then another one is will. Will is your ability to focus, right? Your ability to say, I'm going to focus on this thing. I'm going to concentrate on this item. Now, many people may be used to hearing about this through meditation techniques. But this also can be just the ability to focus on one thing. Maybe you're working and you decide, I'm going to focus on completing my writing activity for the next 30 minutes with no interruptions. That's your will. I'm going to clean my bedroom before I do anything else. That's you using your will. I'm going to actually listen to my significant other. And I'm not going to think about what I want to say. I'm actually going to listen to them. That is a powerful use of the will, actually listening to people and not thinking about what I want to say while they're still talking, right? So will is like a muscle. All of these capabilities are like building muscle. The more you use them, the stronger you'll get. Another is memory, the ability to remember, right? To put yourself back together. So you know I always talk about conscious language, remember, the ability to put yourself back together. So memory is our memory is perfect. There are only weak memories and strong memories. Again, you can increase your memory. There's lots of tools. There's books. One way that I've greatly increased my memory, and it's one of my inherent gifts. I used to think it was a very big challenge for me when I was young, is that I have dreams, very intense dreams since I've been a kid, some prophetic dreams, some lucid dreams, and I have now about 18 dream journals that I've tracked my dreams over the last 15 years. I remember my dreams every night and I write them down. That has also helped me with my memory. So when someone tells me something, I know I can remember it. Why? Because I can remember my dreams from the night before, right? I've just gotten into that habit. So that's one way that I actually work with my clients to help them become more aware of themselves and some of their hidden thoughts and some items that we would say come from the subconscious is actually dream work, is actually recording your dreams in the morning when you awaken. And the last one, and I save this one for last because to me it's the powerhouse. It's the unique ability that we all have, and it's your own special superpower, and that's your intuition. It's that feeling that you get in your gut. You know, some people would say, I just had a feeling, right? It doesn't always make logical sense, but you just knew, hey, I just knew I needed to talk to that person. I just knew I needed to go read that book. I just knew I needed to go watch that movie. Why did you do it? I don't know. It was just a feeling I had. That's your intuition. Personally, in my life, my intuition has been 100% accurate. The only times that I've had issues is because I've ignored it. You know, I've thought myself out of it. I said, no. That doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do that. And then you go do something else that goes against what you kind of knew internally, and then you look back and you're like, oh, man, I knew it. I knew I should have went that other way, right? And it's one area that has really greatly increased just my life experience. I would say the magic that's happened in my life and just the people that I've met, and also helped me in some really challenging situations. I've really listened to my intuition. Even when people have looked at me and said, that doesn't make sense, you know, you're crazy, I follow my intuition. And I know earlier Douglas was talking about a lot of the people that he's interviewed or he's been following and working with all these, you know, through his movie in these years. I'm sure many of them will talk about points in their lives where everything they did may not have been the most logical solution or step to take, right? It was more of an intuition or a gut feeling that they knew that they needed to take, which is what led them to a particular situation in their life. So I like to share these because these are some of the tools that you can use to really start to implement some of the things that you've heard on the show today and past and future shows. You can take one little area and really start to take a different viewpoint of your life or the situation that you may be going through right now. It could be a very challenging situation. You can take a step back and look at it differently with using your reason, your perception, using your imagination to come up with creative ways to come up with a solution, using your will to stay focused and stay positive and ask for help, using your memory to remember how you've gotten through challenging situations before, because if you're here now, guaranteed, you've gotten through a challenging situation. And using your intuition, right, just to follow that higher path. Some people may talk about, you know, God, or, you know, earlier we talked about the good book. Whatever your spiritual or religious beliefs are, that intuition may flow into that as well. So those are things that are going to help you. And I will say that I have been a big follower of Think and Grow Rich myself as well. I'm actually, Bob Proctor, my mentor, actually challenged us. I'm in his consulting group, actually challenged us to read the chapter Persistence every day for 90 days. And I've been reading it since, I believe, the end of February. And it's funny how you think you read something and you think you know it. And you keep reading it and things start to pop out at you on different days that you are just like, did I miss that before? You know, you're just like, am I reading the right chapter? Sometimes I'll stop and look and say, am I reading the right chapter? Like, yeah, okay, this is the same chapter. How come I didn't see this before? And it just doesn't, it's like you, the repetition opens up new areas each time you read it. And the reason I share this is because out of all the tools and all the different people that I followed and looked at, I know Dwight and I earlier were talking about, and many people in the U.S. and maybe globally have watched the documentary here recently on Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, on many other superstars from a sporting standpoint, from business, politics, you name it. The one thing in common I've noticed from all of them is they have persistence. They just keep going through challenges, through defeats, through pain, injuries, setbacks. They just keep going forward with persistence. And that's the last thing that I really wanted to share here today is, you know, we're all going through a challenging time. But challenging times can be transformed into transformational times, into times where new opportunities can be created, to where some of the things that we wanted to change in our environments, our communities, our countries, our world, it's much easier to shift those now than it was maybe a few months ago. So there's always a gift within the challenge. There's always an opportunity. And with persistence, you can use these tools that I mentioned earlier, the mental faculties, keeping your mind focused on your thoughts and your thinking, and stay persistent each day and keep moving forward. And you will see a change in your life and your environment, and people will start to show up that will help you. As Douglas and Dwight mentioned earlier in their discussions, upgrading, right? Upgrading the people that you're hanging around. And that may take some persistence to start to find new people and start to walk away from some people that may not be in your highest interest, right? And there's many people who ask me things now. They're like, hey, man, you don't do this anymore? And I'm like, no, it doesn't serve me anymore, right? And I have some friends. They upgrade immediately when I say that. They're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. And I have other friends. I haven't heard from them since I've made those statements. So those are the ways that we can move in life, being persistent with our positive thoughts, using our mental faculties, creating the lives that we want to live, feeling the feelings that we want to feel, taking the actions that we want to take, and seeing the results that we want to see. And you can create that cycle in your life and then just keep upgrading and doing more, because there's never a point that we're going to get to where you feel that you've made it, right? We're always going to want to do more and keep expanding. That's the nature of the universe, the nature of the world that you see. You know, if you don't cut the grass for a couple of days, that grass is coming into your house, believe it. If you don't have cars driving on the road, you will see flowers pushing through the concrete if you give them enough time. I've watched nature, it just keeps moving. So if we take that inherent ability that we all have and put that in our own life, we can move forward and continue to grow through any situation and through any challenge. That is what I like to leave with all the listeners, and that's how I operate with my clients currently, is allowing people to be sovereign and be able to be self-guided and self-directed. So thank you again, Dwight, for allowing me to come on and speak. and send out blessings to everyone that's listening today or who may be listening to the replay. Please have a blessed day. Remember your dream. Live your dream. Love your dream. Thank you.